Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of love. Sing it again.
Woo. Man, songs of the life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of life we sing.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman.
Songs of the life we bring. Songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Woman to woman, we are so excited to have you here with us this evening. We are praying that this show will be a blessing to you and that it will just cause transformation in your home life, in your personal life, in your relationships, and of course, in your business. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited
Minister LaDon, because I know that you have some good information on tonight and that you're going to be sharing. This is your anointing and your gift, and I tell anyone that's listening in on tonight, you want to take notes, get the information. We have not because we ask not. We don't, you know, the Word of God tells us, seeking ye shall find, knocking the door should be open, asking you should receive, and I'm probably saying it backwards, but most of the time we don't have because we don't ask, we don't seek, or we don't knock. We'll go through struggling and failing and so many hardships, and oftentimes what I'm finding out is though hardships produce growth, a lot of times hardship is just out of our inability to ask the questions. So I'm excited.
That's both very true, and I'm glad you brought out hardships, because we're definitely going to be talking about the power of problems this evening. A lot of times when problems occur or situations that feel uncomfortable occur, the first thing that we want to do is we want to cover things up or we want to run away. I know before I started maturing in Christ and before I started maturing in the things of business and maturing in wisdom, I went through the stage of always wanting to run away when problems occurred because they were so uncomfortable for me. If I had to confront someone, I would try and figure out how not to do it, or if I had to take responsibility or accountability for something and I could get out of taking that accountability and responsibility, I'll gladly not take accountability and responsibility. But as I began to mature in the things of God, one of the things that I realized is that you become a slave to the fear of facing problems. And then also problems start to master you. Whenever a problem comes up, you start to shrink. And I wanted to grow. I wanted to start expanding my reach, expanding my understanding. And so I had to start facing my problems. And so, again, this evening we'll be talking about the power of problems. You know, we have – go ahead, Coach D.
No, I was just saying yes. I was agreeing. Amen.
We have several different topics. And, again, this evening we're continuing with laying down the foundation of doing business in excellence. And most people think of business as a brick-and-mortar building, providing goods and services out of this building. But whenever you're in relationship with anyone, you are in commerce with that person. You are in business with that person. And so even when we're running our households, we're running a business. Even when we're in ministry, people don't like to think of ministry as business, but God. And so while you might not be selling anything, you are still providing a service to people. And you want that service to be an excellence. And so we are laying the foundation of serving in excellence, of doing business in excellence. Amen?
Amen, yes. Yes.
So, you know, last week we started talking about several different topics, but we went over quite a bit last week about why businesses fail. And, you know, they say it's about 80% of businesses, so it's 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs that start businesses, fail within the first 18 months of starting their business. 80%. And so we are giving out tools, we're giving out resources so that people who are now thinking about going into businesses, any entrepreneurs on the line who might be losing their business or they're thinking about going into business, or you just want to run your household better. You might be an employee who says, you know what, I'm tired of being at the bottom rung of the ladder. I've been here for a couple of years and I want to grow in this business, in my career. I want to see how far I can get.
this is the show for you, because we're going to give you resources so that you are not part of that 80% that fails. We want you to be that 20% that prospers. Amen. And so we talked about, you know, I keep on just running it out and running on.
Let me just ask you something real quick, because I know you're going to get to it, but this is the thing that sticks out for me. And I don't know if others listening in, and I know you're going to get to it. I hope I'm not jumping the gun. But when do somebody know that they know that it's time for them to move forward? You know, they've been working somewhere for years, and they, you know, maybe had a desire for a ministry or a business. And I know you're going to get to that. I don't know why. I just didn't want to skip the question just in case you do. I want to put that. You don't have to answer it now. But a lot of people struggle with that. When do they know enough is enough? When do they know it's time for them to move forward?
Amen. I love that question. You know, the biggest thing, first and foremost, we are talking, for me, and I know this is the same for you, Coach D. In order to be in excellence, you have to be in communication with the master of excellence, who is the Lord, our Christ and Savior. And so when you're feeling like you want to be in business, when you're feeling like you want to move forward, when you're feeling like you want to call, that you want to grow, you have that tug, you have that unrest feeling of there's more. And no matter what you do, if you're at that same place, you always have this itch, this urge, this burn on the inside of you that there's more. That's that calling. That's God calling out to you, impressing upon you that there's more for you to accomplish. There's more for you to do. And you want to take heed and pay attention to that calling. You want to make sure that you are hearing directly from God. Because a lot of times we might want more because of wanting to have more money or wanting to be like somebody else. But when it's an internal time and you know that God is pushing you, that's the time to move forward. That's the time to put a plan in place and move and take action on your dreams, your visions, your ideas. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Good answer.
Very, very, very much. So, you know, because we talked about moving forward, and last week we also talked about business plans and different things like that, but one of the things that I want to impress upon people, when we talk about business plans, what we're really talking about is saying, you know, this is what I want to do. This is my goal. This is the service that I want to provide. This is how I want to serve. But with your business plan, you also have to have an action plan. And the action plan is, how do I get there? And I'm giving this information out because we're still relating this back to how 80% of people, of entrepreneurs, fail in their first 18 months of business. So you can go into business, and you can have your business plan. You say, okay, I'm ready. I have this great idea. I've put a plan together of what I want to do, who I want to do it with, and how much it's going to cost and how much money I want to bring in. But then you didn't put a plan together that's saying, this is how I'm going to accomplish these things. And so whenever you have a goal, and whenever you have an idea, this can be a goal for your life, a goal for your business, a goal for your relationship, you want to make sure that you have an action plan in place, and you want to make sure that you have an integrity plan in place. And you might be saying, what is an integrity plan? You want to make sure that you're building quality into whatever it is that you're doing. And that's why, again, that we're talking about this show, bringing this show to you,
you want to make sure that you're building in quality. When you build in quality, it's so much harder for you to fail. It's so much harder for people not to utilize your services. It's so much harder for people not to want to do business with you because you already have the quality built in. And quality doesn't just mean that my product is good. It means that the way that you serve is good as well. The greatest business person in this, of course, which is, I will always say, is Jesus Christ, is the greatest servant in this world. And yes, most people get into business to be CEOs. I know a lot of people who run around talking about, I'm the CEO of this, I'm the CEO of that. But if you want to be a great CEO, you have to learn how to serve. You have to accept in your mind frame, in your brain, in your way of thinking, that your first goal is to be a great servant, is to bring great service to the people, to your clients, to your customers. And so as a mother, as a father, how do I serve my children? As a husband, as a wife, how do I serve my mate? As a CEO, how do I serve my community? How do I serve my employee? As a minister, how do I serve God? How do I serve my parishioners?
So,
again, you're building in quality. You're building in great service. So that is the first thing that I wanted to lay out there because that was kind of like hanging over from last week. And so, again,
I want to just really quickly, there is a book called The Servant, and it's a simple story about the true essence of leadership, and it's by James C. Hunter. Again, that's The Servant. By James C. Hunter is a great book, and it speaks exactly about what you were just saying.
Oh, amen! And I haven't even read that book, but I definitely will read that book. I definitely will Go ahead.
I said it's in story form, so for me, I don't know everybody, but for me, I really could enjoy and embrace books that take it. That's true. But take it in a story sense, and so I read the book, and it was an awesome book. I mean, it's one of those books that, you know, you could read and then go back a couple of years later and read it again, and probably just get just as much knowledge and wisdom out of it that you did the first time. So again, that's The Servant, James C. Hunter.
And I love how you brought that out, especially about going back and reading books over and over again, because truth is relevant no matter what stage you are in your life, and it always brings about a new discovery when you go through these different stages of life. And so the more information that you have when you read something or reread something, it takes you to a greater level of understanding. So it's always good to reread books that hold a lot of truth and a lot of really good principles.
Amen.
So as we get started tonight, you know, the first thing that we want to do in any business, in any relationship, is we want to do a self-analyzation. And that's what I call mirror, mirror on the wall. We all know the story of Snow White, how she would go before, how the queen would go before the mirror, and she'd say, mirror, mirror on the wall, telling who's the fairest of them all. But she always asked the mirror because the mirror would not lie to her. She could ask anybody in her kingdom. But the people in her kingdom, some of them were so afraid of her that they would tell her anything that she wanted to hear. And because this was an evil witch, we'll say everybody would tell her exactly what she wanted to hear, so that they wouldn't experience dire consequences. And so when you think about facing the mirror and the mirror telling the truth, That's the first thing that we want to do when we're learning how to be good servants, when we're learning how to be good leaders, and we're learning or putting the foundation of serving in excellence together. We want to do a self-analysis. You know, Proverbs 14:8 speaks about this. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. And so basically, when you do your self-analysis, you want to make sure that you're telling yourself the truth. There's no point in trying to fool yourself, especially if you want to grow your business, if you want to expand, if you want to grow in maturity, if you want to grow in wisdom. You have to analyze where you are, how you got there, and what it's going to take for you to move on. You don't want to be so wise in your own eyes that you can't grow. And so as you're doing this self-analysis, it's good to even incorporate people that you trust and, you know, ask them, what is your brand? What is it that when they see you or think of you, what comes to mind? Now, you don't have to take everybody's word as that's the sound gospel truth. But when you do hear truth, you want to make sure that you are addressing the truth of what's being said. You want to make sure that you are addressing the truth of where you are, what habits you need to change, what habits you need to put in place. I went through Six Sigma, and I'm learning, I'm doing my business, but I know there's a lot of things that I need to change. I'm still growing and excelling, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this show, is because we do want to serve in excellence. At least I know I do. I want my business to grow. I know that there's areas where I am weak, or areas where I'm allowing different weaknesses to take over, and I have to analyze those areas and say, you know what, this is where I need to pick up. This is where I need to do better. And unless you're willing to address those areas, you are not going to grow your business. You're going to be part of that 18% and fail. You're not going to expand your relationships. You're not going to grow in your relationships unless you are willing to say, this is where I am, this is where I want to go, and this is what I need to do in order to get there. That makes sense, Coach D?
Yes. Woohoo! I'm glad you brought that point up, because I know, you know, and I mean, just for protection, and this is not a dagger, but I do know, I have some spiritual family in my life, and I was just sharing that, because the thing about it is, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest, and you got to be willing to be transparent. If not with anybody else, but with yourself about your weaknesses. And a lot of times what happens is people don't want to be. And I think what happens is that, especially we as Christians, we get in this habit. And I understand confessing positive affirmation. I understand confessing the word of God and standing on it. I get that. And I understand it. But what I'm saying is that I think sometimes people take that to the extreme, if there could be an extreme. And I'll take whatever pushback on what I'm saying. I may not be wording it right, but hear the spirit of what I'm saying. It goes back to, I know when, you know, this faith thing came about and people were doing this faith thing. And the faith thing was, I'm going to write a tithe check by faith. No, that's called, called write and bounce. And so people were doing these faith. Well, you knew you didn't have money in the bank, and you writing it in faith. And I'm just saying, who really told you that? Where did you get that confirmation? Because then when the check bounced, guess what? It speaks against the character of God. because you're his child. And it's just like our children. When our children go out and they do something crazy like rob a bank or rob a store, guess what? We could be the best parents in the world, but what is that a reflection of? We feel like it's a reflection of what? Like, did your mama train you? You know what I'm saying? So when we do those kind of things, let me go back so I don't get too far off track, but I know people that say all the time, you know, they understand. I understand. I know how to do it. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, everything's perfect, 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 but the reality of it is you're struggling or you haven't been able to accomplish certain things, but I'm not sure that the being real with oneself, being transparent with oneself so that you could correct the areas of weakness, that you could strengthen. I mean, you can't strengthen areas if you don't even know that there are areas of weakness.
Amen. You know, and I love how you brought up out, you know, writing the tithe check. You know, even if the goal is to walk out what you want to do, walk out who you believe that you are. But if you write that tithe check and you don't have money in the bank, you hold on to that tithe check until you can put it into the offering. But in the meantime, in order to walk it out, what you're doing is you're learning how to become master of your finances. You're learning how to grow your money, how to put your money to work for you. And these are things that are called walking in faith, not just taking a check and putting it into the offering and then saying, okay, I hope and wish the money is going to be there. So a lot of times we say we want to walk in faith, but the walking in faith is you're faithing until you catch up to where God has called you to be. And so there's this timeline, if you will. Just pretend like it's a timeline. God has already given you everything that you need in heavenly places. His word tells us this. And so it's our job to move up to where God has called us to be. In order to do that, our faith or our belief level has to mature. Our belief level has to grow. And in order for the belief level to grow, it's like a muscle. You have to train it. You have to use it. You have to activate it in order for it to grow. And so if you believe that you're called to be a business person, you don't just say, okay, and I'm just going to do business, and that's just it. There's steps. There's a process. You go through obtaining a business license. You go through doing research of what type of business that you want to do, especially when you're saying that God has called you to do it. You want to make sure that you're doing it in excellence. You want to make sure that you're doing things according to what God has called you to do. And if you don't know what you're doing, you obtain wisdom. The Word of God tells us to seek ye wisdom, to embrace wisdom. And so is it wise to just open a business and just say, I have a business? No, you do the wise things. And then once you do the wise things through that process of growing and learning your business, of researching your business, you're exercising your belief muscle. You're growing your belief muscle. Because there's a lot of times when you, when God has called you to do something and you don't at first believe that that's what God has called you to do or that you can do it. Until you start practicing in it. And so you want to grow your faith level. And the reason why it's so important to grow your faith level and your belief level is because when the big things happen, and again, this is where most businesses fail, when the problems come, when the challenges occur, you'll quit. You'll start wondering if God really called you to it. wondering if you really can handle it. You'll close those doors. You'll start throwing good money after bad habits, after bad practices. And so it's important to grow your belief level. It's extremely important to grow your belief level and your faith level. Because when you write that check and it bounced, now you're mad at God. Lord, I thought the money was going to be there and the money wasn't there. And you're upset. But as we talk about this, this will lead us into our next topic. You know, we just talked about self-analysis, making sure that you're paying attention to where you are, that you're addressing where you truly are, because if you have small beliefs, you can go to God and say, you know what, I have a small belief level. Lord, I want to learn how to believe more. I want to believe more. Show me what to do. Show me how to do it. And there's a process that you're going to go through. And again, we just talked about in relating it to working out and relating it to building your muscle. Because you can't walk out and pick up a 205-pound today weight if you don't think that you can, first and foremost, never have picked up any weight, and you can barely hold a 6-pound infant for too long. So, again, we're growing our belief level. We're talking about self-analysis. We're talking about reviewing our performances and accepting the truth, and we're realizing, you know, of course, first and foremost, that God's grace is sufficient, and where we're weak, he'll prove himself strong. So when he's called you to it and you say you want to grow in it, God will prove himself strong when God has called you to it. And pay attention, I'm saying when God has called you to it. And this will lead us to our integrity box, and we touched on this last week, and we're going to get into it a whole lot more this evening, but the integrity box, that is, it's basically, it's defined by your how little you need, how little you're obligated to, and how little you want, and this is all in order for you to be whole. So your needs, your obligations, and your wants, and how little they are, This is going to say how whole you are. And this is why your needs, your obligations, and your wants, they're made up of six ingredients. There's six ingredients that make up the integrity or the health of the integrity of your integrity box. Those six ingredients are your peace of mind, your health and energy, your loving relationships, your financial freedom, your worthy goals and achievements. And they're ranked in order. And this order is, of course, again, according to the health of your integrity. So if you don't have peace of mind, you can do a whole lot of crazy things because you don't have peace of mind. If you are at home and your kids are crying all the time and your husband is running out on you or spending all the money and gambling all the money away, you go to work and your boss is driving you crazy, you might start drinking. You might start spanking your kids so they're quiet. There's a lot of things that you will sacrifice in order to get peace of mind. If you don't have health and energy, you can't move on to even having loving relationships because you're too tired. And it becomes all about you. If you don't have financial freedom, they talk about what people won't do for money. And I'm sure people can start thinking about, what have I done for money? When I thought that I needed money so bad, what was I willing to do? What was I not willing to do? And then, again, the last thing is worthy goals and achievements. But the reason why these things are ranked in that order is because you have to have, first and foremost, you have to have peace of mind in order to do anything in life, because your mind is where everything exists. Your mind is where your belief level is, where you communicate with God, where you communicate with all of the people around you. And if you don't have peace of mind, you can't move forward. Health and energy helps you in order to go after your financial freedom or go after your loving relationships or go after your worthy goals. But all these things are based on, again, your needs, obligations, and your wants. And God has already supplied all of our needs. And this is another area where businesses fail. This is another area where relationships fail. Because we get our needs, our obligations, and our wants mixed up. God says he's the supply, already supplied our needs. When you breathe in, you can breathe. You have air to breathe. You have water to drink. So basically all of our needs is taken care of. And then we have our obligations. But our obligations are what we're obligated to do. And we talked about that last week. It's like a parent are obligated to take care of your children. If you have a job, you are obligated to go into work. You're really obligated to go in on time in order to get your paycheck. If you're in relationship, you're obligated to those relationships going unless you don't want those relationships. And then we go to our wants. And people, again, get all of these things mixed up. You want to have a five-bedroom home, but it's only you and your husband. You don't need a five-bedroom home. But when you get that five-bedroom home, now you have to do things in order to keep that five-bedroom home. And some of those things, if you bought a house that was a little bit more than what you could afford, now you're sacrificing in other areas in order to keep that home. And so you're challenging the integrity of keeping yourself whole. And when you're not whole, the first thing that start to go is your peace of mind. Because now you're worried about, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to take care of that? And once your peace of mind goes, of course your health and energy goes. First thing you hear people say when they don't have peace of mind is they're what? Tired.
Sick.
Tired, sick, confused, don't want to do anything. But once you get tired and you get sick, then these loving relationships, you can't even think straight. So how are you going to love straight? How are you going to take care of your finances? How are you going to take care of your worthy goals and personal achievements? So, again, with the integrity box, the key is to master those building blocks. And the building blocks are, again, made up of your needs, your obligations, and wants. You want to keep them so small that you can master them and you don't have to become a slave to them. You don't have to become a slave to your obligations. You don't have to become a slave to your wants. I want a car. Do you need a car? Because once you get a car, you might be obligated to pay a monthly payment. And can you afford that monthly payment? And now because you can't afford that monthly payment, you're calling Paul to ask for a loan, and now you're mad at Paul. It's messing up your loving relationship because Paul doesn't want to give you a loan because you got more car than you can afford. And so in business, sometimes because we mix up our needs and our obligations and our wants, we go into business. We didn't necessarily follow the business plan that we had laid out, or we saw that it needed to change. We needed to change and adjust it. We didn't change and adjust it. Your business plan is a living, breathing document. It's alive. It needs attention. It needs to change. Or maybe we didn't follow our action plan. You started doing all these things that were good things to do, but they weren't necessarily the right things to do. Or maybe you can follow your integrity plan, which is building quality into your service, into your product. And so now nobody wants to do business with you. And so because of that, you say, okay, I'm going to pick up my business and take it over here. And now your integrity box is becoming small because now you can't pay your employees because you spent all of the money on the move, so you're paying them late. Just all of these different things that can happen when you don't take control of your integrity box, when you're not mastering your integrity box. And a lot of times we don't think about that in business. But again, if you want to do business in excellence, if you want to keep your doors open, if you want to expand, you have to be willing to master your integrity box. You have to know how to master your integrity box. Maybe it's that you don't go out in the first month buying, renting an office, renting all of these, a fax machine, purchasing a phone software and different things like that. Maybe you start with your cell phone. Maybe you start with a kid in high school or a kid in college who knows how to do graphics so that you can keep the amount of money that you're spending out small. But learn how to master your integrity box, which leads us to the next topic, which is change. And one of the things that God was showing me was is change is not optional, but progression is. So when we're born into this world, we're born into change. You start off as a baby and you grow up. Your body changes, lifestyle changes, things in life changes, the environment changes. So you realize change is not optional. People are always talking about, oh, I want to change, I want to change. You're changing every day. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're progressing. Progression is optional. And progression is a combination of maturity and wisdom. I'm going to use how we grow up as an example. You grow from 2, you grow from 4, you grow to 10. What you know at 10 is not the same thing that you knew at 2. So at 10, you should be able to do more things. You should be able to share. Pardon me. You should be able to share. You should be able to start mastering your own behavior. But we have some 10-year-olds who still act the same way that they did it when they were 2. We have some 35-year-olds who still act the same way they did as when they were 2. So maturity, just because you're getting older and just because you're getting you're changing doesn't mean that you're maturing. So we can begin maturing, but even with maturing, you want to gain wisdom, and that's how you progress. So if you want to change your financial situation, you have to become mature and wise in the things of finances. Mature means I don't go and spend money anywhere and everywhere and on anything and everything when I know that I have obligations that need to be taken care of. So I'm spending my money on my obligations and not my wants. Unless I can afford to spend my money on my wants. But wisdom comes in and says, before I spend money on my wants, I'm going to take this money and reinvest this money so that it can grow and make money for me. I'm going to save this money so that should something occur, I'll be able to take care of it in the future. Does that make sense?
Yes, and definitely.
Go ahead.
Makes all sense. Definitely makes sense. We see that happen often. You see that happen. So often, I was getting ready to start kind of giving some scenarios, but I'm not. The Holy Spirit told me don't do that.
But you know, a lot of times in business, we don't mature and we don't become wise. We just keep doing business as usual,
And the and in order for your business to stay alive, in order for your business to stay viable, in order for your business to grow or expand, and some people may not want their business to grow. They are like, they love having the little corner shop where 10 people come in and buy the same 10 things every day, and they're good. But that's even wise because they know what they want. But if you want to have your business grow, if you want to expand your business, you have to mature, you have to progress, and you have to apply wisdom. So if you have some key people that are working for you and working with you, but you want to pay them less than what they're worth, they can go out and find a different job, and then now you have to grow new key people. But then if you're not paying what's usual and customary for that role, you're not going to get the right people into your business. Maybe you can't afford to pay people a certain amount, but then you are mature enough to say, this is where I am. This is where we're growing to. I'd like you to come alongside with me, and as we grow, this is where you can hit your bonus levels. This is where you can hit pay increases. Or maturity says, you know what? This menu is not working. Wisdom says, let's change the menu so that we can get people in here. So progression is optional, but change is not. And that leads us into the power of decision. The power of decision. Most people think that because they said they wanted to do something or because they said they are going to do something, that they've decided to do something. Decision comes when you actually take an act. But that's not the end of decision. The end of decision is staying committed to that action that you take and the direction of your decision, the direction of your goal. You take smoking or smokers, for instance. I say, today I am going to stop smoking. I'm not smoking anymore. And so I don't buy cigarettes, and I haven't smoked in weeks. But then I come alongside my friend, and my friend has a cigarette, and we're hanging out. And I say, you know what? I quit smoking, but just give me a puff. So have I really quit smoking if I decide to take a puff of the cigarette? No. No, I haven't. So decision and commitment go hand in hand. They go hand in hand, but commitment, you go from decision to committing to your decision, but then you have to demand integrity from yourself in order to stay committed. And what does that look like? Well, when I say that I'm not going to smoke, if I know that I have issues with smoking, integrity says, when I see my friend light up, I'm going to ask him, oh, please, can you put that out, or I'm going to walk away. Integrity says that you're going to hold fast to your commitment of the decision that you make in order for you to reach your goal.
Amen. Amen. Did you want to see if the audience had any questions or comments about tonight's subject? If you're listening in on tonight's show and you have a question or comment, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. If you're listening in through the internet, unfortunately, you can't dial 1 on your dial pad, but you could always call into the show if you have a question or comment. Area code 646-721-9678, and that'll let our team and dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. Again, tonight's show, this is show 2 of a 3-part series called Minding Your Business. So we have been talking about starting last week, started talking about minding our business, and it ain't nobody's business but yours, and it all has to do with building a business, being entrepreneurs, kingdompreneurs. What is that thing that God has put in you and is requiring you birth? And now we've been doing it. Minister LaDon's been leading this series on Woman to Woman, and I've been kind of following behind her on Processing the Pain. Also following the Mind Your Business series, and maybe just ministering from a different standpoint, but all of it is about those dreams, visions, and ideas inside of us that we are so busy, you know, we're so busy minding everybody else's business that we're not minding our own business. And I'm not to say that everybody's an entrepreneur. I mean, I don't want to say that. But when I said we're so busy minding somebody else's business that we're not minding our own, a lot of times people who've been minding somebody else's business, that means you've been working for somebody else. And you know that God put a vision in you. You know that he's put a business in you. And either because of lack of knowledge or fear, past failures, you haven't moved forward to birth those things that God has given you. And I want you to know that even procrastination is disobedience. I'm going to say that again. Even procrastination is disobedience. And I said, because, you know, sometimes God will give a word and it steps on our toes and it hurts. We have, and at that point in time, we have the ability to get an attitude, the word that God delivered. We could deny the word that God delivered, like, that ain't me. Or we could just receive the ouch, say hallelujah, and move towards a new now. I had to say ouch because there's some things that I have that I've been procrastinating on. And I didn't say I ain't going to do them, but I've been procrastinating. And just then the Holy Spirit said procrastination is still disobedience.
And I know that you, Coach Denise, that have you really made a decision to do it? Are you committed to doing it? And have you demanded integrity from yourself in order to get it done?
Amen.
You know, and it leads us on, you know, you talked about people not really saying that everybody is entrepreneurs, but, you know, again, God has called us to be kings and priests, and that's why we're laying this foundation, because you're kings and priests of your own household. You're kings and priests of your relationships. You're kings and priests of your ministry. You're kings and priests of the business that God has called you to. Priest meaning it's a ministry. Your relationships are a ministry. Your home is a ministry. You're serving. Kings meaning that you're doing business and you want to do business in excellence. And so, you know, when we talk about the things that God has called us to, the things that we're trying to get done, and we talked about the power of decision, the power of commitment, and demanding integrity from yourself. And it leads to the power of problems. A lot of times when we face problems, we don't want to face our fears. We want to dismiss them. We want to overlook them. We want to run away from them. But again, if we are increasing our faith level, if we're increasing our business level, if we're increasing our potential to do business and our potential to do business in excellence. I'm still a little sick. I'm still getting over my my viral infection, so you'll have to please excuse me. But when we talk about the fear, when we talk about the power of problems, problems come so that you can expand in knowing how to master your situation, knowing how to master your challenges, knowing how to stay alive, but not only stay alive, stay healthy and staying alive. So when you can master problems in your business stays in a place of being healthy. Healthy means it still has the ability to bring in funds. It still has the ability to produce quality products and quality services. But when you can't master the problems, the health of your business, the health of your home, the health of your relationship start to deteriorate.
So you don't want to run from your problems. You want to ask God for wisdom. You want to ask God for answers. You want to ask God for faith. You want to ask God to increase your belief level. You want to seek wisdom. And if you don't have the wisdom, go to people that you know that have been in business for years. Go to your minister. You're saying, I want to grow my church, but your church is have the same 5 members from the day you opened it. And you believe you're delivering a good word and you're doing what God has called you to do, and you're like, well, what do I do now, God? You can't keep doing the same thing. And you might have a good word. You might really have a good word. Maybe it's the people that are in your church that are not hearing the word. So maybe you need to learn how to deliver the word in a different way. Maybe you're in the wrong place. Maybe you're teaching to people who can't even hear. They just like coming every day. But again, you want to learn how to master your problem. And that leads us to the power of consistency. Pardon me. You talked earlier about there are some things that you know that you need to deliver. There's things I know that I need to deliver in my business as well. And so one of the things that God is working with me on is the power of consistency. Consistency builds habits. Consistency builds a trail. It builds footprints to the place that you want to go to when you're consistent. When you become consistent at doing the things that you know you're supposed to do, you know you ought to do, you know that is necessary, needful to keep your business and to grow your business, it becomes easier to do. They become less of a challenge. They become less of things that you don't want to do, and you start procrastinating less when you stay consistent. The devil is consistent. That's how he gets most of us. It's through his consistency. He don't bring about new problems. He bring about the same problem in a different way. But he's consistent. You know, there might be listeners who have been online listening all program long, and I can tell you, maybe you've had 5 different relationships over 10, 15 years, and they all seem to end the exact same way, and you keep saying, how do I get into this mess? It's not a new problem. It's just consistency. So we have to learn how to stay consistent. When we are consistent, it starts to break those areas where we are slaves to. So we might be slaves to procrastination. But as you build your consistency muscle, procrastination starts to go away. And that leads us to failing forward. And failing forward means you are going to experience failing often in order for you to become a success at what it is that you're doing. But whenever you fail, you want to fail forward. You want to say, what can I learn from this experience? What do I need to do differently? What do I need to do the same? You want to learn about your failure. I think it was Thomas Edison who said, you know, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I just found out basically almost like I didn't fail 10,000 times. I found there was 10,000 reasons to do things a different way. And I think I muddled that up, but I'll put it on our page in order for you guys to get the clearness of that quote or the exact quote. But you want to fail forward in order to grow. Don't be afraid of failing, because when you face failing and you're willing to fail, you start eliminating some of the fears you have. When you go out and you're trying to buy a house and or get a location for your business, guess what? You when people tell you no, or you're not a qualified, or you're not approved, you start building up a muscle to where that thing doesn't scare you anymore. You're like, okay, I wasn't approved this time. Let me go see if I'm approved over here. Let me go see if I'm approved over there. But what happens is you start becoming master of your fears. So make sure that you're failing forward. When you fail, don't run away. Don't sit down. Don't quit. Don't trouble. Don't shut and close shop. Figure out how to do it better. Most millionaires, most people that are millionaires, they've been millionaires either twice over or three times over, meaning they filed bankruptcy at least once or twice and became a millionaire all over again. And we're saying we can't even become a thousandaire, multiple thousands. And you might not want to be a millionaire. You don't have to be a millionaire. But the whole point is making sure that you fail forward. Don't become discouraged.
Amen.
And of course,
amen.
That leads us to persisting against the odds. I love the Word of God. And it says that if God be for us, who can be against us? And there's this song by, I think it's Darwin Cobb, and it's called More Than a Conqueror. And it's Darwin Cobb, if you have to listen to it, C-O-B-B-S. But when you persist against the odds, when you know that God has called you to it, you have to make up in your mind and believe without a shadow of a doubt that in the end you are going to be exactly where God has called you to be, doing exactly what God has called you to do, and exactly how he's called you to do it. So you may have had a business that you had to close the doors on today, but that doesn't mean stop and don't try and open another business. Some people get upset because they say, here is this person. They've had five or six different businesses and all five or six different businesses closed, and they're still out here trying to do it again. But they're persisting against us because they know that they know that they know that they know that God has called them to do it, and they're failing forward. They're failing towards that success because it only takes one time for you to be a success. And if you quit before that one time happens, you're not going to reach that level of success. It's not going to happen. So you want to make sure that you are persisting against the odds. The odds say, you know what? You have bad credit. There's nobody in your family that's ever been in business. You don't have a car. You don't have resources. You don't have finances. What do you think that you are doing trying to have a business? And then you have to say in your mind, if God be for me, if God is for me, then who can be against me? Not man, not situations, not resources. Nothing can stand against you. But in knowing that nothing can stand against you, that's where you go back up to the top, and that's where you start again making your decision. You start making sure that you're committed to that decision and you're taking action and you're walking in that thing that God has called you to do until it is manifested. You might have to change and amend some things. But even with the change and the amendment of things, you're making sure that you're operating in progression, which is maturity and wisdom. Hey, this overhead of this office is way too much. I'm going to create an office space in my home. Or I'm going to go and see if I can share my office space with somebody else or share someone else's office space. And in all things, of course, you want to make sure that you're operating according to the calling
that God has on you. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in hope. You have to believe in possibilities. You have to believe in opportunities. You know, they say I hear people get so upset because you hear all this stuff about positive thinking. But even the Word of God says, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you are thinking negatively, you're going to have negative situations and negative circumstances. But if you're thinking positively in the face of negative situations and negative circumstances, you can begin to see the glimmer of light. You can see where God is moving because you're looking out for God's hand, because you're thinking positively, because you know that God's word says, if he is for you, what can stand against you? So you're searching out. You're seeking those answers. You're seeking the wisdom. You're asking questions. You're knocking on doors. The Word of God says you will find it. The Word of God says that you will find it. Amen?
Amen. 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 Well, again, we have come towards the end of our show. If anyone's listening in, have a question or comment, please feel free to do so at this time by dialing 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question or comment about tonight's show. If not, then Minister LaDonna, if you are at the end of your broadcast and the information that you would like the studio audience to hear, I don't know if you want to close us out with a prayer.
Oh, amen. I definitely want to close with prayer. I definitely want to leave some nuggets with our listeners. One, you know, when we talk about the power of decision, decision moves you in the direction of your goal. It motivates you to keep on going. When you make that decision, it's what gets you up and keeps you going. Because you said, I have decided. Make sure that you're operating or exercising your willpower. Your willpower says, you know, Eric Thomas says, I can, I will, I must. Your willpower says, I must, and gets it done. Always make sure that you're serving well. If you're going to serve, serve well. Serve in excellence. Don't just serve. And if you're not there yet, keep on serving until you get there. Keep on learning until you get there. And you definitely will make it there. And so, Father God, we thank you for this time of coming before your throne. We thank you for just the nuggets, the wisdom that you are downloading into us in order to do business better. We know that we don't have to go to the outside world and do business with the outside world in order to get quality business, in order to get business of integrity, but that you have called your people, you have called your kingdom to be the example of how to do business, how to serve, Father God. So we thank you, Lord, that you are calling each of us, those who are listening, those of us who are calling us to step up our level of excellence, step up our level of serving, step up our level of doing what you called us to do. We know that in your calling us, Father God, it's because of the plans that you have for our life, Father God. But not only the plans that you have for our life, but the plans that you have for us to be a blessing into the lives of others, Lord Jesus. And because you are calling us to be a blessing, Father God, we know that that means that we are going to have abundantly more than we can imagine
or dream or even think of. And abundance doesn't have to necessarily mean in finances. It can be in wisdom. It can be in so many things, Father God. But your word says that you come to give life, and life in abundance, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for the life that you've placed in us. We thank you for the calling that you've placed upon our lives, Father God. We thank you for you letting us know that there's levels of excelling, that there's a foundation of excelling at what you called us to do. And the first, Father God, starts with, again, our integrity, Father God, and bigger than our integrity, our belief, Lord Jesus, and with that, our faith, Father God, and even with that, making a decision to do what you called us to do, Lord Jesus, and following those steps that go into a decision, Lord Jesus. So we ask, Father God, that you continue to pull upon us, Lord. You continue to draw on us, Father God. You continue to keep us at those levels of unrest, Lord Jesus, until we get to where you've called us to be, until we do what you have called us to do, Father. We're asking that you continue to prick, prod, and provoke and just call us out, Lord Jesus. That you give us the ability and the willingness to not harden our hearts, Father, when you say that there's change and progression that needs to occur, Father God. We thank you, we bless you, and we say amen in Jesus Christ's name.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We want to thank you all for listening in tonight to this episode of Woman to Woman. We are doing a business series that is Mind Your Own Business, and this was part two. We will be finalizing next week with part three. You don't want to miss it. Grab your friends, grab your family, and if you know of anybody that has a big business that's stagnant or considering starting a business, then tell them about the show on Tuesday. Again, it's at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We thank you so much for your support and know that you are truly, truly loved and appreciated. Have a good evening.
Woman to woman. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman, songs of life we bring. Songs of love and songs of joy,
woman to woman. Yeah. Okay, Kayla. Sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs.